In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The devil's greatest trick is to convince the world that he does not exist. No devil, no sin. No devil, no need for a Savior. Yet if God were to open your eyes to see how many devils surround you, you would flee to Christ in terror. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against political parties, legislations, foreign nations, businesses, or even terrorists. Your struggle is against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Consider what constant peril you are exposed to from your adversary, the devil. He is an enemy extremely ready in pride, strong in resources, subtle in deception, boundless in strategies, unweariedly zealous in assaulting your soul, and capable of assuming any form. Ceaselessly, he wars against your soul, always attacking at your weakest, most unguarded point. Conquered once, he does not give up, but he tempts anew that he may overcome you in a moment of negligence or weakness. If he sifted the disciples like wheat and led astray Judas Iscariot, who was taught by our Lord for 3 years, if he had the audacity to tempt the Lord of glory himself, then why would he avoid you? Baptism has delivered you from him, and yet baptism has also made him your greatest enemy. It is no joke to take sides against the devil in this holy bath, and not only to drive him away from that little child, but to burden that little child with such a mighty lifelong enemy. If you want your children to have a good, peaceful life, then do not baptize them. If you yourself would rather have a good, peaceful life, then just forget about your baptism and understand you also would forsake the blessings God gives. Baptism is no plaything. We don't do it of nostalgic principles because our forefathers did it. This is serious business. This is war. Baptism gives you no greater enemy, no fiercer foe, no craftier, more cunning, more wicked adversary than the devil. He is filled with fury because he knows he only has a little bit of time to tempt you. So in every circumstance, guard against his lies. In prosperity, he puffs you up with pride. In adversity, he seeks to lead you to despair. In family, he urges you to place them above God himself. In honor, he inflames with unholy ambition. Even in forgiveness, yes, the devil will even use forgiveness to tempt you. He wants to drive you to apathy and neglect of the word of God. He will use whatever he can get his hands on. Slowly, methodically, decisively, he tempts and seeks to rip out faith from your heart. He will not leave you alone if he can help it. He will never rest, never take a day off, never have a break. He will stop at nothing to drive you from Christ. And he knows your greatest weakness. You yourself know your greatest weakness as well. Your greatest temptation, your greatest weakness is whatever you love the most. Perhaps a child, a spouse. For it only takes one nudge to bump it up above God. Yes, he will use guns and torture and persecution as he has in days of old and still today. He will also use progressive society and legislations, but those are all secondary things. Chiefly, the devil fights with words. And so chiefly, he does not come wearing black and carrying an ISIS flag. Chiefly, he does not come as an atheist or gender activist or terrorist. Chiefly, the devil comes as an angel of light. He comes holding a Bible and quoting scripture. It is written, he says. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Satan loves to discuss the scriptures with you, even as he did with Adam and Eve. He wants to talk about what they say. And yet his teeth are like lion's teeth, and his tail stings like that of a scorpion. For when he talks about the word of God, he always uses it to deceive and to lie and to lead astray. Did God really say you can't eat from that tree? Did God really say people lived on this earth for 900 years at one time? Did God really say women cannot be pastors? Did God really say honor and respect all that are in authority, and not just of your own country, but of every country, and to treat them with honor and respect? Did God really say your little bundles of joy are nothing more than dead in sin? Did God really say you are to stay married even if you do not love your spouse? Resist him, standing firm in the faith. But Eve was perfect, and she was deceived. Adam was perfect, and he fell. So what chance do you have to stand against such a wily, cunning, and strong adversary? How will you defend yourself? His reasoning is too strong. His logic is too sound. He doesn't speak gibberish. It makes sense. But he lies. He can only lie when he speaks. If God were to open your eyes, you would see how many devils surround you, constantly trying to attack you, and you would flee to Christ in terror. Your eyes do not see it, but faith believes it. Faith believes what God has said in his word. So flee to Christ. He came to destroy the devil's work by overcoming where Adam had failed. The spiritual forces of evil surrounded him. Satan nipped at his heel. The devil and his demons urged him to eat bread and to take that glory for himself. Satan even quoted scripture to him, and yet our Lord stood firm. He understood the truth of God's word. He fought not as God, but he fought as a man with the word of God, so that his victory might not be for God, but for you, men. That battle was but a spat. The real war raged on Calvary. If God were to open your eyes, you would see all the hosts of hell surrounding that man on that cross, attacking, tempting, enticing. But you would not see God the Father. Left alone, abandoned, and forsaken, Christ dies, suffers, and fights, his heel bitten by that snake. And yet, if God were to open your eyes to see that, you'd see an eternal victory as well. For Christ has plunged his cross into the skull of Satan, crushing his head forever. Satan has lost the war. He has no power, for Christ lives. By the disobedience of one man, Adam, the many were made sinners. And yet by the obedience of the one man, our Lord Jesus Christ, the many are made righteous. The victory is not his and only his. The victory is yours. It is yours through faith. Through faith you overcome 1,000 devils. So what? If baptism has made Satan your enemy, so what? If God were to open your eyes this very moment, you'd see a valiant champion with a sword protruding out of his mouth, leading the heavenly armies out of paradise to fight for you this very instant. So do not be afraid. For those who are with you are far more than those who are with the devil. Through baptism, Christ is your warrior king. He doesn't send you off into the wilderness only equipped with the word of God, but he himself goes with you. Whatever you face, he faces with you. When you struggle, he is there. When you suffer temptation, he himself fights for you so that you overcome all things. He is your valiant hero who sees the demonic battle that you too often fail to see. and that sharp double-edged sword protruding from his mouth? It is the word of God. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, and so guns and swords and even laws of a country are completely useless. Your struggle is against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. And the word of God alone can overcome them. Hold on to that word. For one little word sends these devils in flight. They cannot remain where Christ commands go. They cannot accuse where Christ speaks his forgiveness. It fills Satan with rage that he cannot have you. He knows that you have sinned. He knows the scripture says the soul that sins must die. He holds that law, that scripture up before your eyes to lead you to despair. He holds it up before God's eyes, demanding that God be just and holy. And yet God holds up his beloved son, those pierced hands and side and feet. God is just. He poured out his wrath on his son so that he might once again speak his forgiveness over you and clothe you in a marvelous dress, the righteousness of Christ. It drives Satan crazy that he cannot have you. But you have a loving and gracious God who continues to fight and to protect you. So flee to the word of God and so flee to Christ. Tuck away in the holy wounds of Christ. Fight the devil and his temptations by fleeing to Christ. And you will overcome the wiles and assaults and temptations of 10,000 devils. If God were to open your eyes, wait, God has opened your eyes to see all this. And that is why you are here. You understand your problems are not with things out there, but are with the devil. He is the tempter. You also understand that your hope of salvation, the only way you can overcome all these things is through Christ alone. So here, today, you see your champion, the crucified, in the mouth of his ordained minister, speaking that forgiveness, and Satan must flee. You see the conqueror, the crucified, present in bread and wine, forgiving, fortifying, comforting, and Satan must flee. Christ himself is present to fight for you this day. Satan cannot harm you. He's judged the deed is done by Christ. And that one simple word of forgiveness drives Satan back to hell. For a time, Satan still roams around tempting you, but only for a time. Do not give in to him. Do not trust in your ability to handle the scriptures, but trust solely in the word made flesh, your Lord Jesus Christ. Resist the devil by standing firm in the faith, for soon the God of peace will crush even Satan under your feet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.